Good evening, welcome to the Buck Stops here. I'm Vishnu Shom. On the program tonight, we'll be closely tracking the developments at Jawaharlal Nehru University, where Kanhaiya Kumar, the president of the Jawaharlal Nehru University Students Association, is set to speak to students after being released on bail just a few hours back. We'll also be looking very, very closely on this program at the speech of the Prime Minister in Parliament today. Accused of not listening to anyone, Mr. Modi seemed to reach out to the opposition today. "Let's work shoulder to shoulder," said Mr. Modi, while at the same time hitting out at the Congress, accusing the Congress leadership, perhaps a direct dig at Rahul Gandhi, of immaturity, and also saying that parliamentary disruptions were because of the opposition's ego issues. And later on the program, it's a multi-million dollar effort at translating historic Indian works to English. But now 130 scholars have hit out at Rohan Murthy, the son of Infosys's Narayan Murthy, for picking a Columbia University professor they say is anti-Indian and politically biased. The petitioners say the renowned professor Sheldon Pollock should not be the chief mentor of the Murthy Classical Library. Rohan Murthy joins us later on the program to explain why being a foreign national shouldn't come in the way of scholarship on India. But first, let's quickly move on to our top story, the developing situation at Jawaharlal Nehru University. The images that you see on the screen are of Barkha Dutt, who met Kanhaiya Kumar just a little while back. Barkha joins us in a few moments from now. In fact, she is with us at this stage. Barkha, we are seeing these pictures of you with Kanhaiya just a little while after he was released. He's back at JNU now. I believe he's going to be addressing students in a little while from now. What did he tell you?
Well, Vishnu, I would say that the images that our viewers are seeing on the screen right now are the first. They're absolutely the exclusive first images of Kanhaiya after his release from Tihar jail. In fact, the media was being kept at such a bay that even when he was taken out of Tihar jail, he was taken out from a back lane. When he was brought inside the JNU campus, where I'm standing right now, he was not brought in through the usual gate. In fact, he was quietly smuggled in a car and taken to a faculty member's house. Now, I managed to track down Kanhaiya at the faculty member's residence, and I would say that this is not just the first image that we're seeing of him outside of jail, but also the very first initial first interview, the first few comments that we have from Kanhaiya on record. First, let me give you a sense of the mood. I walk into this faculty residence and I see a group of young people, and I think in this entire controversy we have forgotten how young these people are. I see a group of young people huddled over a table that has some cake, some samosas, you know, some little celebration, and they're all taking selfies. So, you know, that image really stuck out at me, because while these boys and Kanhaiya has been described as no less dangerous than Masood Azhar, there he was, just like a regular university student, taking selfies with his friends, who were obviously thrilled to have him back. With him were CPI workers, that's the political party he's affiliated to, and some faculty members who are advising him. One teacher told me that Kanhaiya is very, very traumatized. He has to be prepared before he actually speaks to the media. But Vishnu, I must tell you that I'm sure he's internally traumatized, especially after the way he was beaten in court. But when I met him and when I spoke to him, he was calm, he was all smiles, he was laughing. And here's some of the things he said to me. He spoke of how he believes that he has been the victim of a media trial, a sensationalist media trial. I interjected him. I said channels like this one had been fair, had been objective. We were not those channels who showed doctored videos. He said, yes, I take that position. I don't mean all media, but I do believe that I have been the victim essentially of a media trial. He also said that the fact that he'd got bail was one step in what he believes will be a long fight. But he used a phrase. He said, "Sach dheere dheere nikal kar aa raha hai. Jaise ki aap sab jante hain ki mere bare mein jo video tha, wo doctored hai. Usi tarah se dheere dheere sach nikal ke aayega. The truth will prevail and sabko sach pata lag jayega." Vishnu, he reiterated that he was not the organizer of the event where those slogans were raised. In fact, he came to break up a fight between two warring factions of students, and he himself never raised a single anti-India slogan. He was absolutely categorical of that. He also told me that when he was in jail, he had a lot of time to think, and he said he began writing. And this is one phrase he used in Hindi, which really stuck with me. He said, "Sabne mere baare mein tarah tarah ki cheeze boli. Sabne mere baare mein judgments or conclusions draw ki. Lekin ab main apni kahani likhunga. Main apni kahani khud likhunga. I will tell my own story." And he shared that he had started writing that in jail.
Right.
Now you would imagine someone who's gone through what he has, Vishnu, would not have been wanting to watch the news about himself. But he told me he was monitoring every bit of news while inside prison. And finally, of course, he spoke of the support from his teachers and friends. And it looked to me at the end of it that after all this is over, like any other young man, he just perhaps wants to go out and have a nice evening. But that's not to be. In a while from now, he first has to address the masses of students who are gathering behind me to meet him.
All right, Barkha, we'll cut across to those images in a little while from now. Thanks very much for being with us. We're going to move on now to our next big focus this evening, and that is the Prime Minister and what he said in Parliament. It was an interesting speech by the Parliament. It comes a day after Rahul Gandhi spoke in the Lok Sabha. The Prime Minister seemed to do two things. On the one hand, he reached out quite convincingly, many would say, to the opposition, saying we need to work shoulder to shoulder. We need to ensure that work gets done. We need to take time out to really understand what it is that we are and are not doing. At the same time, he was critical of what happened in Parliament. He was critical of the Congress. He questioned, some would say, the Congress leadership on maturity. Let's take a look at some of the main highlights of what the Prime Minister had to say in Parliament earlier today.
ये सदन क्यों नहीं चलने दिया जाता है? एक इंफेरिटी कॉम्प्लेक्स के कारण नहीं चलने दिया जाता है। कुछ लोगों को उम्र तो बढ़ती है लेकिन समझ नहीं बढ़ती है, तो समझने में बड़ी देर लगती है। पर उपदेश कुशल बहुतेरे, जे आचर हीते नर न घनेरे। दूसरों को उपदेश देने की कुशलता वाले तो बहुत सारे लोग हैं, परंतु जो खुद वैसा आचरण करे वैसे लोगों की संख्या बहुत कम है। यह हम तू तू मैं करके जो स्कोरिंग करते हैं, मीडिया में छा जाते हैं, हमको लगता है हमने बहुत कुछ कर लिया, लेकिन अफसरशाही की अकाउंटेबिलिटी खत्म होती जा रही है। मैं नया हूं, आप अनुभवी लोग हैं, आइए कंधे से कंधा मिलाकर हम चलें और कुछ अच्छा काम कर करके देश के लिए दे करके जाएं।
इंटरेस्टिंग पॉलिटिकल स्पीच। द प्राइम मिनिस्टर सेज एग्जैक्टली व्हाट ही वांट्स टू से एंड व्हाट ही चूजेस नॉट टू टॉक अबाउट इज आल्सो डन डिलिबरेटली। देयर इज नथिंग दैट नरेंद्र मोदी डज व्हिच इज अनप्लान्ड। इट्स नॉट एज इफ ही चोज not to deliberately speak about issues and to choose out other issues. At the same time, his plan in Parliament today was to reach out to the opposition. He was responding in a sense to what Rahul Gandhi was saying, listen to people around you, listen to us, we are not your enemies. At the same time, Mr. Modi didn't miss one opportunity to hit out at Rahul Gandhi, the Congress leadership. He didn't name Rahul directly. Joining us to debate this speech, Babul Supriyo, Minister of State of Urban Development, thanks very much for being with us. Shogoto Roy, the Lok Sabha MP of the Trinamool Congress, with us. Shekhar Gupta with me in the studio. Ajay Kumar, spokesperson of the Congress. I'd like to thank all of you very much for being with us tonight. I'm just going to go across to Babul Supriyo first. Now, what he actually said, kuch logon ki umar to badhti hai, lekin samajh nahi badhti. This was an attack on Rahul Gandhi?
Well, sometimes intelligent people say stuff. Firstly, let me put things into perspective. I think as Indians, or even, I mean, let me not don the saffron color now. I am extremely proud of a PM who doesn't mince his words. And actually, he played like a batsman who builds his innings, hits the bat ball for a six or a four.
Did he hit
at the same time? No, I'm coming there.
Six with this comment.
Well, the country is talking about it. That's exactly what it is. The country is saying so. And if we listen to the Congress, if in everything they say that is what the country, general belief of the country is. So at this point of time, if the entire social media is abuzz with the fact that is exactly was a sixer hit to Rahul Gandhi, then maybe that is true. So
but
I would not get into any speculation.
To flip that argument around, considering the fact that Rahul Gandhi had also said yesterday it was important for the Prime Minister to listen and to work with the opposition.
Yeah.
Wasn't this perhaps a personal attack that could have been avoided?
No, there is no personal attack. I think that, as I said, he did not, but I think he hardly veiled. No. See, he did not name anyone. As I said, there are several things. There are the media might call a lot of things to be rhetoric, but I genuinely feel that if the country feels that there was a snipe towards Rahul Gandhi, I am not going to vouch for that, because what the Prime Minister was thinking, only he knows. I really do not.
So you are willing to vouch for the online interpretation.
Why should I do that? I am definitely going to. I am also part of the social media. I am going to go by the country's mood, and that is the language that Congress speaks. One, secondly, if he has at the essence of the entire speech was quoting Rajiv Gandhi, quoting Jawaharlal Nehru,
okay,
and the essence of
just one line,
yeah. The essence of parliamentary decorum, wherein we kandhe ke kandhe se kandhe mila ke aaye desh ke liye kuch karte hain. Government is a continuous process, and I think he established that. And
that
everyone in the parliament believes that this is one of the best speeches given by the Prime Minister.
Ajoy Kumar, there's a lot to discuss. I'm just trying to discuss theme by theme, so bear with me. The comment on maturity made by the Prime Minister today, as Babul Supriyo points out, at least online, this is interpreted as a direct attack on Rahul Gandhi. Is this how the Congress Party also interprets this particular statement?
Look, if the ministers are in the dark and not knowing what the Prime Minister says, it's obvious in this government, Babul Supriyo's inconvenience to say. I just want to comment Babul Supriyo's sixer. This is not a BJP, it's not a BJP conclave where they are doing underarm bowling and he's hitting for sixer, and that's what he's looking at the social media, where their followers keep saying great job. They should look at the whole of social media and find out what is the truth. But coming to, I think Mr. Modi is suffering from huge Rahul phobia. And the question is, Mr. Modi and his government was bowled so badly yesterday and did not answer any of those questions. Very good speeches. This whole event management, Sarkar and the Prime Minister will continue to give a good speech without any focusing on main issues. Why doesn't the Prime Minister in address to the President's statement, focus on issues which were raised? And so Vishnu, this... Vishnu is suffering from very bad Rahul phobia. He saw Mr. Rahul Gandhi's ghost everywhere in his speech.
And the same Prime Minister quotes Mr. Nehru.
And the Rahul phobia. And BJP have been spending...
Okay. Alright, Shekhar, again, let's just to deal with this one issue before we get to the other one. It seemed when the Prime Minister started out, he spoke at length about reaching out to the opposition. He spoke about how, for example, politicians in Parliament, our MPs in Parliament need to deliberate on Women's Day. Women MPs need to speak perhaps first. He spoke about sustainable development, how MPs need to talk only about that. And then there was this very sharp attack on Rahul Gandhi. It was something that, given the mood of what was happening earlier, a lot of people would say was not going to come, but it did, and when it did, it was extremely hard-hitting. That's my reading of it. What is that also yours?
Well, first of all, I think the Prime Minister gave a very sharp and a very good speech. I'm not making an editorial judgment on either his speech or Rahul's. I just think that as people living in a democracy, particularly as a journalist, it's wonderful to see these exchanges in your parliament.
Okay.
You can choose your side on various arguments, and all Indians would, but it's so much better to have this sparring in parliament in the civilized parliamentary way than
without being shouted down. It didn't happen today
or walk out
or yesterday for
walk
that
out shout shouting down, jumping into the bell, etc. To an extent, when the Prime Minister speaks, I think it brings a certain weight to parliamentary proceedings. Why should they be surprised about the fact that the Prime Minister in a way answered back Rahul Gandhi, because Rahul Gandhi is the one who had opened this front?
Yes.
And I think it's a match of verbal boxing. You land a few punches, then you wait, you can duck and you can take them. I think it's fair game.
I agree with you.
It's fair game.
Okay.
And I would, in fact, Prime Minister quoting Jawaharlal Nehru, Indira Gandhi, Rajiv Gandhi was a very good ploy. Tomorrow,
because he said the quote first,
well,
and then
tomorrow,
after a while, this was said by Rajiv Gandhi.
Tomorrow, somebody from the Congress Party could come back and make a whole speech quoting Atal Bihari Vajpayee, right? Then we'll have genuine parliamentary.
I think it was the way he did it that was interesting, Shekhar.
It was effective.
It was effective and it was meant to keep the opposition off guard because he identified the person who said that afterwards. It was interesting how he used it.
Well, you can say so, but I don't think politicians are so stupid. I think they figure out, particularly after the ploy has been used once, they know what is coming.
But Vishnu, right? Want us to understand one thing. See, if you're saying that the Prime Minister was attacking today, I think he did it in a very cool manner. I mean, I'm using today's language. He did it in a really cool manner. The youngsters have really loved it. I would just say one thing, that Rahul Gandhi, by spreading rumors and by using the kind of propaganda that he is doing, he's actually not harming the BJP. He's not harming the Congress. What he's doing is harming the people of India.
What propaganda?
Everything, everywhere that he's going, he's not coming. What the Prime Minister did today was to bring actual mathematical facts and figures. What he said today was not any kind of statements or political arguments. They were actual mathematical figures, statistics. Vishnu. So what is wrong about?
Before I go across to Saugata Roy, Ajay, would you like to reply briefly to that?
He avoided talking about any of the current issues.
We'll get to that. That's going to be the substance of this debate, I assure you. We're getting over the fraud first. Yes, go ahead. Ajay, yes.
Vishnu. I just want to tell that the Bharatiya Janata Party and the Prime Minister are masters of, you know, misleading. See, electrification of 18,000 villages. He forgot to tell that 1.2 lakh villages were electrified during UPA 1 and 2. He said, the figures which he quoted on toilets, 13 lakh toilets were done by UPA, they did 4 lakh toilets in
But he
years.
Also spoke about so NAREGA and MANREGA right, the fact is that it is continuing with a massive fund infusion.
The facts on the table... Yeah, but Vishnu, the fact is that the maximum reduction in poverty, which this Prime Minister will never acknowledge, what happened between in UPA 1 and UPA 2. So the Prime Minister, and says he inaugurated 2,300 kilometers of railway line, which were projects which were ready for completion. We expect our Prime Minister on Bangladesh land deal. He said, I got the land deal done. He quoted throughout UPA 1 and 2 that I won't let a single parcel of land go to Bangladesh. Then he happily went and gave it away from Assam. So
I think the point, Ajoy, that the Prime Minister was making is that it is all too easy to criticize the Prime Minister. At the end of the day, there is a party or a leader that actually implements everything that, in this particular case, the UPA has been talking about for years. The UPA has been talking about solving the situation with Bangladesh for many years.
But Vishnu, why can't he have the decency to say... Why can't we be gracious enough to say, listen, I oppose the Bangladesh deal, I let it pending for 9 years, and finally when I came, which I had majority, I did it. And I am responsible for delaying for GST.
It's ironical that they are talking about grace. I mean, I feel that is exactly
what
you're saying.
Shekhar, briefly, Saugata is waiting. Just go ahead, yes.
That's between you guys.
It's ironical. You are
grace or lack of grace is between you guys. But all I want to say is that BJP had opposed the Bangladesh land deal. It had been done by UPA. In fact, I once wrote in National Interest, headlined Dear Narendra Bhai, saying that you are the most powerful person in your party. Please let this pass. Your party is blocking it.
Okay.
But I'm quite happy that he's come to power and has done it. But at the same time, this is something that he did not initiate. And I think, if I remember the language correctly, I don't think he was denying Congress party.
No, he wasn't. Okay. Saugata Roy, I'm sorry to have kept you waiting. A couple of issues the Prime Minister didn't speak about. He didn't speak about the JNU incident at all. He didn't speak about the Rohit Vemula incident at all. On a previous program, we've had BJP spokesperson saying that, look, let the Prime Minister be Prime Ministerial and decide what it is that he chooses to speak about and not speak about. Didn't you feel that perhaps at one level Mr. Modi was out of touch with what so many in the country are discussing? JNU is not just a media invention
really
or creation.
I really think so. The Prime Minister did skip many of the questions that the country was looking forward to an answer. He did not speak about the atmosphere of intolerance at all in the context of his Minister of State for HRD making a hate speech in Agra. He did not talk about farmer suicides in Marathwada at all, where 1300 farmers have committed suicide in the last 14 months. He did not speak about the stagnation in exports that is taking place and bedeviling the economy of the country.
Yes.
He did not speak about what he was doing to give jobs to the unemployed. And he of course did not speak on the agitation for Patel reservation in Gujarat or the Jat reservation in Haryana, which held up life there 50 kilometers from Delhi and caused a loss of hundreds of crores of rupees. He remained totally silent on Rohit Vemula. This was the first parliament speech after Rohit Vemula's suicide. He chose to remain silent on that while he pontificated on how parliament should run.
And therefore,
he remained quiet on the unrest in JNU campus.
So I ask you, the effort of the Prime Minister at reaching out to the opposition, despite what all the points that you are mentioning, that doesn't convince you at all?
No, I think there was an effort to reach out to the opposition. I do not think that it was such an aggressive speech. What he indirectly spoke about Rahul Gandhi was actually a paraphrase of the statement given by Arun Jaitley yesterday.
Okay.
This part of the speech is drafted by Jaitley, it's evident. But he did talk of working together. Some of his ideas are good, having a session or a day for new members, having a session or a day for women members, these were nice ideas. But when he spoke about parliament disruption, he did not speak 1 minute about the mistakes BJP did between 2009 and 2014,
okay,
when BJP
that's
held
a fair
up
point.
One whole session. He did not ever say
yes,
sorry.
What goes we around comes around. You were renowned for disrupting
again.
Parliament when you were in the opposition.
Well,
now,
well, if yeah. if for argument's sake,
Babul is a newcomer to politics. Don't ask him these difficult questions.
Sir, let me answer Shogatada. Don't get personal, please. You know me personally.
Why don't you get personal?
Let me answer the question. I think that, I can go into the details of the reasons, like Telangana. Please. For Telangana, there were fights going on. BJP was with one side of that, so they had no other choice but to be there with the thing. There was a CAG report. I know what I'm talking about, Shogatada. I would request you to listen to it. I know what were the reasons BJP stalled the parliament. For argument's sake, if I believe that what Congress thinks is that is a very wrong attitude that BJP had between 2009 and 2014,
yes,
let them not do that and set a good example. Look, we are not doing what we did dislike
Why
about Congress.
BJP
Nana,
says,
let
sorry.
Me finish. Let me finish. We are not doing what we disliked about Congress. We have not resorted to corruption. So we are not doing that. Let them not do what they feel was wrong.
Okay,
so
let me
set a precedent.
Let me ask Ajoy Kumar.
So Babul, Vyapam and
Let's try and stick to what the Prime Minister said today. Now,
no, but Vishnu, I like that they forget the Chhattisgarh PDA scheme, the Vyapam and Lalit Modi and all
the Prime Minister.
They
no,
seem to have such a fantastic
no, gentlemen,
memory.
We can broad-base this discussion endlessly.
Can
I just
quote him here in one thing?
One minute, Babul. I want to know about the Make in India scheme.
Babul,
the Prime Minister said something interesting. Also, I wanted you to respond to it. On the opposition hitting out at the Make in India scheme, the Prime Minister said, we make our image as that of a beggar in front of the world. He was quoting Indira Gandhi in 1974. Again, the point being, even when it comes to a project which is only bound to help India, one way or the other, why must the Congress be critical?
Because, look, the way this Make in India is another event management. That's what we keep
saying.
That's
all it is, event management.
We would support the Babbar share and all that if it was actually benefiting, once a bubble, if it was benefiting people. But what do you have? You have an event in Vigyan Bhavan. You have an event in Chowpatty. But the basic issues of manufacturing are not being addressed. They continue to have these big CII and other, industrial association
and
meetings.
And you didn't.
We will support if the government comes with proactive projects and actual job generation.
What
but
the
problem is, it's Chowpatty Beach, or is Vigyan Bhavan, or is the Prime Minister saying, no, one second, Babul, the question is, why is the industrial production dipping? Why is there is no introspection?
It's a global slowdown.
There is no introspection on export dipping. There is no introspection on industrial production. So my question is, if you have an event and if you put a lion with moving parts on the stage and keep saying India's image,
no.
The India's image is being affected by the drop in exports, not by the opposition.
I know you want to answer
India's
that.
India's image is being affected by the loss of jobs.
that the Congress opposes for the sake of opposing?
Well, I call this, I have a word for this, I call it oppositionism. BJP did that for 10 years. Before that, Congress did that for 6 years. But in the past, say in Vajpayee years, or even in under UPA 1, there was some honor among thieves. I'm not calling anybody a thief, I'm just using a metaphor. In the sense that you did your fighting a little
just
bit.
Just to be sure, yes.
Just to be sure, yes. These days you have to be very careful. Mujhko chor ka. Right? It's not like that. Remember, how did the IRDA amendment get passed? How did for FDI in insurance get allowed? BJP was about to lose that. It is, yes, a money bill.
Yes.
Government would have fallen because BJP's members were missing that afternoon. Congress cooperated. Pranab Mukherjee was, he got involved. Congress cooperated. They said, we'll do it on another day. The amendment came on another day. Congress voted with the BJP because some NDA constituents were not supporting it in Lok Sabha, and in Rajya Sabha, in any case, BJP did not have the numbers. So, in spite of all the fighting, mara-mari, gali-galoj, still important laws got passed.
Done,
you,
yes,
can say by conspiracy or whatever, but good conspiracy, virtuous conspiracy. What has now happened is that basic communication between the two sides has now broken down. So, there is no honor among
Shekharji, what is the language being used? As a first-time politician, I cannot name them, but I'll name you the way they come to the well and the kind of body language they have, and on important issues, they're laughing their way through. There is no real... Sir, let me finish, then you can obviously counter me. That you are stopping a bill because you feel that the bill is wrong for the country. You know, the mocking that goes on, the shouting that goes on, the entire body language, it's a complete joke.
I need to wrap this up. Ajoy, 30 seconds to you. Please go ahead.
Nobody has stopped a bill on merit for a very long time.
Exactly. Ajoy, go ahead. Yes, 30 seconds. I need to wrap this up. I have an important debate coming up. Yes.
Vishnu, the BJP, BJP and the RSS preaching us on language. The BJP MLA in Rajasthan says we will hang Rahul Gandhi and shoot him. The kind of languages they use during every time outside and inside. And now suddenly Mr. Supriya is being offended by people shouting some slogans in the well. I've been in the previous Lok Sabha.
I am talking about the way.
Anybody used to speak. So
why are you bringing that particular BJP MLA up? We are not talking about that.
Please, the BJP, the language you guys use. Has anybody condemned the language? Has anybody said that we should shoot a minister, hang him? But you guys continue to say it and nobody condemns.
There is something outside the parliament and inside the parliament. Alokji, there is something outside the parliament and inside the parliament.
Let's not fight over here.
Let us, in the spirit of trying to get the opposition and the government working together, that's what Rahul Gandhi wanted, that's what the Prime Minister wanted. Assuming they both wanted the same thing, let us keep things decent over here and hope for that. I'd like to thank all of you very much for joining us. We're going to take a short break. After that, we're going to be moving on to our next big focus this evening. Rohan Murthy joins me on why he feels that Professor Sheldon Pollock, who is heading a big effort of his to revive traditional Indian literature, to translate all of it, needs to be part of the project, and why he opposes 130 scholars, historians, teachers who say that a foreigner should not be part of this multi-million dollar effort. That's coming up. It's a $5.2 million endowment given by Rohan Murthy, the son of Infosys's Narayan Murthy. It's a project whereby ancient languages in India across 13 languages to start with will be translated into English. It sounds like a wonderful program that has been accepted by people across the country, but there are serious question marks which have arisen over the inclusion of the chief mentor, being Professor Sheldon Pollock of Columbia University. A letter has been written by more than 130 teachers and academics and scientists. It's an online petition where they say that perhaps a foreigner should not be involved. They say that Professor Pollock, who is regarded one of the finest scholars of Sanskrit to many, is not the perfect choice. They say that even Make in India should be applied over here, whereby Indian scholars need to be involved, not foreigners. Is this regressive, or are there genuinely items in the scholarship of the man you see on the screen over there, Sheldon Pollock, which is objectionable? I spoke to Rohan Murthy a little while back. We are airing this interview for the first time. Rohan, In the online letter which was written about concerns on the involvement of Sheldon Pollock, one of the concerns is that Professor Pollock has a deep antipathy to the values cherished in our civilization. Those are the words which have been used in this online petition. Why do you believe this is not true?
Well, Vishnu, I've actually read lots of these texts seriously. I have read philosophy, Sanskrit philosophy seriously when I was a graduate student. Of course, I'm no longer a student now. And that has not been my reading. And I think there have been, there are several other scholars, several other well-wishers who've also read the same text, who also have the same conclusion. So, therefore, I cannot agree with what I do not believe in.
Does it surprise you that as many as 132 professors, scholars, scientists, it's not a small number, historians also have signed this online petition, and there are so many academics against Sheldon Pollock's involvement in this project? The number?
I wouldn't say it surprises or does not surprise me. I mean, these are a set of people who wish to express their opinion, which they have done. It just so happens that I also know another equally large or perhaps even larger set who do not agree. And I think it's as simple as
but
that.
But do you believe, Rohan, that this has something to do with the Jawaharlal Nehru University controversy? For example, in that letter, there has been a questioning on Professor Pollock's views on JNUs. The letter points out that there are concerns on how he has said, and I quote, the government of India should end its authoritative menace. Now, he's apparently signed on an American document which says this. So, do you believe this criticism of the professor is linked to the present milieu around the JNU? That's what people are objecting to over here.
Actually, I don't know and I don't want to comment on this, Vishnu. And I'll say this for a couple of reasons. My interest in this are the books, are the translations. Since this was addressed to me, and my only involvement here is to do with the translations, I do not wish to comment on somebody else's politics. Everybody has personal politics. I mean, I don't have a single human being who does not. Just as I would not like somebody else telling me to have a certain kind of politics, I cannot inflict or I cannot impinge on somebody else's sense of politics. So therefore, I will not comment on that. Instead, my only interest in all of this has been, tell me what's wrong with the actual translations. Is there a problem with one of the books? Is there a problem with one of the lines, with one of the paragraphs? Is the context not right? If so, then help us. Help us improve it. I mean, this is supposed to be something for all of us.
And Rohan,
so I'd rather just stick to the books.
Do you also feel somewhat surprised by the inclusion of Make in India, the Make in India phrase as part of this online petition by these academics and intellectuals who have signed this online petition? They say that Make in India needs to apply for even an intellectual exercise like this. Or do you believe that it's a wrong tag being applied for something like this?
No, I'll tell you my take on it is, well, guess what? All these books, the source material for all these books were made in India a long, long time ago. So, if you want to look at it that way, sure. I mean, the Terigatha was written in 200 BC, roughly in this part of the world. Or the story of Manu was written in this part of the world. Or the Akbarnama, or the Ramcharitmanas, or the Kiratarjuna, they're all written in this part of the world. So, yeah, we are absolutely part of the Make in India program.
All right. So, do you believe then that all of this is now happening because there are some in our country who believe that foreigners should not be involved in this project? It's sort of an us versus them issue. Is that what this is all about?
So far be it for me to speak for what some may or may not believe, Vishnu. But I'll tell you what I believe. And I'll tell you how, not just what I believe, how we operate. This series is a complex historic effort. Okay, we are trying to translate texts from about 14 different source languages, classical Indian languages, which is not easy. And in fact, I may be wrong, but I think this is amongst the most complex translation efforts ever undertaken. And we're spanning, I don't know, you know, God knows how, you know, what sort of what timelines we are at least going back as far as 200 BC. And then we want our books to survive and to retain their vitality for the next 100, 200, 300 years or potentially forever. And so therefore the only option that we have is to go find the best scholars for each text or language, wherever they may be, whatever nationality they may have, whatever gender they may be, whatever race, creed, or whatever else. If they are in India, that's wonderful. In fact, we have scholars in India, in South India, in the North, East, West, various parts of India working with us. In fact, I think one of our Kannada books coming out next year, I think it is next year, is currently being worked on by a scholar at the Azim Premji University in Bangalore. I know there are a couple more such scholars in India who are working with us, translators. We have translators in Israel, in Belgium, in Czech Republic, in the United Kingdom, in Canada, in the US. So really, I mean, we have a very simple philosophy, which is find the best scholar and request them for help in translating.
So let me ask you, finally...
I'd say at least that's the ethos by which this series lives.
So let me ask you finally, would this project be possible at all without the involvement of Sheldon Pollock?
No, Vishnu, I don't contemplate those sorts of outcomes, because Professor Pollock has been an integral member of the founding team of this whole project. In fact, he's been a well-known scholar in this field long before I even went to high school. So I don't even think any of those things arise. We would not even have gotten this far without his critical involvement. He's attracted a wide range of scholars across the globe, including in India, I must add. We have an incredible number of scholars and of incredible diversity and of incredible ability in India who respect him deeply, who are all part of this effort, whom he's managed to enlist. So I don't know if we would be able to get this far. And I would say, even though it's just the second year of this library and this, whatever, 100, 200, 300-year-old journey, we've been remarkably successful in large part, or in most part, thanks to his efforts as well as his colleagues.
All right.
Contemplating anything otherwise, I don't think...
Okay, so Rohan, fair enough. You can't contemplate an alternative is what you're saying. One way or the other, you believe that this is going to continue. Thanks very much for sharing those views with us.
Great. Thanks, Vishnu.
We're going to move on and try and debate some of the issues here. With me in the studio, Professor Makarand Paranjpe, Department of English at JNU. Also joining us, Kiran Nagarkar, the writer. I'd like to thank both of you very much for being with me. Professor Paranjpe, let me ask you this. Does this necessarily have to be an us versus them issue? What is the problem with Professor Pollock being on board?
Well, the first thing to understand about this issue is that it has two components at least. One is the objections against Sheldon Pollock, a particular individual. And the second question arises because of the entire nature of the project and its outcomes. So if we were to start with the second first, just for a second, if you went to the end of the petition, then the petition clearly says that a debate, we urge you to invite critics of Sheldon Pollock and the approaches being followed in this project for open and frank discussions. We are convinced that this would lead to a dramatic improvement. So
what is the problem with Sheldon Pollock?
Yeah, so I'll come to that first. Well, first of all, I'd like to say that this is not a Swadeshi versus scholarly issue, number one.
But then why mention Make in India in this letter then?
No, because you can be Swadeshi and scholarly.
You can be foreign and an Indian, a scholar of India in so many senses.
That's what I mean. So that it's a matter of attitudes, it's a matter of the politics that Professor Pollock has come to represent.
Okay.
And I also would like to say that from what I understand, there are 500 books planned. And it's going to take 100 years at the rate of 5 books a year. So obviously, unless Professor Pollock plans to be here for a very, very
He's
long
just
time...
He's one person. There are many who would be employed in this.
Precisely. So not any one person is indispensable for a project...
But he's the chief mentor.
Right now, exactly. So now you
He's
ask
a supervisor.
Right. I'm just saying that a project like this doesn't have one indispensable mentor or creator. I was just saying it's... spread over a long time.
He's the administrative head in a sense almost. He leads the effort. What's
exactly.
wrong with that? Every project needs a leader.
I think you misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm saying that unless he plans to be here for 100 years, we will have to think about people, or we'll have
okay,
to think
so,
beyond
so,
Pollock.
So, sure, no, I'm sure there'd be many. But
all right.
I'll come back to you in a moment.
But let me tell you what I have against Professor Pollock.
Yes.
Not just I,
yes.
but a number of
yes.
people have signed this yes. petition. you know, he has politicized not only the project but his own academics by signing a number of petitions, and this is a kind of petition war, if you might want to call it that, and he cannot be exempt from the consequences of several of the petitions he signed. So that,
so he's spoken about JNU, right? He signed a petition about JNU.
That's one, but there's been more he signed, and he's been advising the government of India to step out and etc. So all I want to say, very simply speaking, is this, that he, instead of being seen as a neutral scholar, has adopted a political position which makes the outcomes of the project questionable. That's okay. It.
All right. Kiran Nagarkar, do you agree with that? If a person, a scholar, takes a political position, and I'm not sure whether Professor Pollock would argue that he's necessarily being political, does that affect the scholarship of someone who looks at the history, in this case, of Sanskrit, its evolution, and other issues? Does a political position affect scholarship on, say, Sanskrit in this issue? Professor Pollock is renowned for his studies in Sanskrit.
I think this is an absurd kind of point that is being made, and I'm amazed that the academicians have nothing better to do than keep on at this game of tutu mai mai. Of course we are all political beings. Of course we have differences of opinion. Thank God. That is what a university, why is a university so sacrosanct? Because it allows for various ways in which people think and to talk to each other. And you know that he might be 100 years on from now on. For God's sake, the country itself will be ruled by somebody else in the next 20 years for all I know. I don't know. Why are we talking about this kind of, I mean, how do you frame things in this light is absolutely beyond me. And I really think, isn't it time that we got down to work instead of perpetually going on and on about this one is not, doesn't have the right set of opinions. This is a disease. This is a kind of virus that is affecting all of us. It's about time that we said, hey, let's get down to studies. Let's get down. And you disagree with him? Terrific. Okay. Go ahead, put your point
Professor
of view.
Professor Payanchpe disagrees. Go ahead, sir. Yes?
No, I'm trying to say something slightly different. What I'm really trying to say is that the accusation against Professor Pollock is that he constructs the entire Indian tradition in a certain manner in which the Shastras are seen as oppressive, and he sees that the Sanskrit language created, you know, an atmosphere in which people of several sections of society were oppressed. So, there is a particular politics to what he stands for. In fact, I can quote from one of his well-known pieces, which was cited in this petition. He says, the Veda, the transcendental Shastra, subsumes all knowledge. It is itself eternal, infallible, the source of the Chatur Varga, and therefore the basis of all activity. Secular Shastra in general, consequently, is a portion of the corpus and is false. He's quoting Manu. In other words, what he's done is he's taken a position which is very divisive in terms of how we understand our Indian pasts, which is always seen in terms of oppressed and oppressor. Whereas,
but let me also offer an alternative perspective to that. The letter, the petition actually says that he echoes the views of Macaulay and Max Weber that the Shastras generated in India serve no contemporary purpose except for the study of how Indians express themselves. He has forcefully articulated this view in his career, starting with the 1985 paper. He sees all Shastras as flawed because he finds them frozen in Vedic metaphysics, which he considers irrational and a source of social oppression.
Exactly.
This but that's wrong.
Objection.
That's wrong.
Says who?
Well, let me just tell you, this particular part was, and this particular issue was something that he had brought up at Heidelberg South Asia Institute.
There are two different essays, and I've read both of them. I agree that the Heidelberg essay has been misunderstood.
He seems to have clarified his position.
No, no, please, let's disambiguate this. Very important. Okay. There are two different essays. One essay is called The Theory of Practice and the Practice of Theory in Indian Intellectual History, from which I just quoted. I'm not referring to the Heidelberg essay, where he does say that there is a view which is a Macaulayite view, a Weberian view.
Which is wrong.
Which is wrong.
He disagrees with it.
Which he disagrees with.
According to somebody else, an example of the worst kind of misunderstanding of Indian wisdom. Well, he didn't say it.
Yes.
He didn't say it.
His defenders are saying it. But
Dominic Westick from the University of Alberta said it.
Fine. But right. I'm saying something. So, can I say something which is really important, which hasn't come out yet? You see, Edward Said talked about the distortions and the problems that occur when the West studies its others with a certain motivation, right?
Yes.
For power, for domination.
Yes.
Now, what's happening here is that the West still has control over the construction and the study of Indian past.
This is a translation of works.
No, just a moment. May I finish? Under the mentorship of Sheldon Pollock, who's come out openly to show Indian traditions as being oppressive. Now, the real point is, what he's doing, in effect, is to say that Indians oppress themselves so badly through the Shastras, through the Vedas, that only a foreign person can come and liberate Indians from the oppression that they imposed upon themselves. Now, let me just make one little point so that you understand this argument properly. The argument is simple, that to construct or see the Vedas or the Shastras in this manner is a deeply motivated and political...
Kiran Nagarkar, lots of points over there. Respond quickly we are running short on time, but go ahead with this.
Yeah, we are running short on time.
His view of India is Western, it's American Orientalist. Yes. That's the argument.
Wait a minute. You know, I can see that the other party is getting so much time, I'm not getting
any
time
at all. Go ahead, sir. Please reply,
sir. And I'm supposed to wrap up the argument. I'm going to say a few things. First of all, if you feel that Sheldon Pollock is misrepresenting things and is, as a matter of fact, in this particular essay at least, has a Macaulayan view of things, put your argument out and make sure that he understands that he's in the wrong. You don't have to ask for the detectorship to be taken away. And you know, one of the points that you yourself brought up, Vishnu, was this, that, you know, bringing foreigners into the country to oversee this. What do you think our Indians are doing in America and making billions? Thank God they're doing it, because it's an open world. We are not. Why should we be ashamed of anybody coming here? Let them come here as we go there. Let there be an open space where people can talk to each other, point out their own differences of opinion with you, and you can come back as strongly as you want. But that is the purpose. That is the arena, which is called the university. The academicians are supposed to be open-minded. What are we frightened about? This is our culture. You think anything is going to threaten it? Are you kidding me?
Thank you. I think that's well put, and I respect parts of what Kiran said. But the thing that I wanted to say, which is really important, is that the expectation from a visionary like Mr. Murthy and his son would be to invest in strengthening Indian academics and our own...
How are they not strengthening Indian academics by translating works which would be lost?
No, they've given the entire amount of money to an Ivy League university, thereby outsourcing the reconstruction of Indian texts and traditions.
They're outsourcing it, and there is a process of selection which is incredible. It's not as if one person, Rohan Murthy, decides who's going to translate the works. He's spoken at length about how not in this interview... We have a board of editors who are a cross-section of scholars.
May I just say one little thing so that my point of view is clear.
May I come in for a second, Vishnu?
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Vishnu, may I come in for a second?
I'm just making the point that it's not as if he's just giving it all to foreigners.
That's not what I said. I'm saying that there is a dominant group of academicians with patronage networks which extend from the United States to India, which is reinforcing a particular
narrative which you feel is
in the minds of some is distorted.
Okay.
And these things need to be debated.
But argue it out.
Go ahead, sir.
Why don't you argue it out?
What are you worried about?
I want to highlight and argue.
You want him out.
No, that's
no,
a petition.
No,
not
you
every
want
petition
him out.
Succeeds.
No, no, no,
why ask for him to be out?
You don't want to argue it out.
No, no. Look, because you see,
it's Tutu Maimai again.
No, Mr. Pollock, Professor Pollock is a very powerful person. And the kinds of scholars he patronizes. No, no, 1 minute. It's not a level playing field. It's not an open world. So
am I to understand that you are not a powerful person?
Thank you. I wish
am
I were.
Am I to understand that you are not a partisan?
No, that's not the point. The point
of
is.
Of course you are. What are you talking about? Each one of us has his own views.
Exactly. No,
and
no.
We can put
we
them
are
as
saying
strongly as possible.
We wanted to express our reservations. Please don't misunderstand the whole petition. We wanted to open up this
but
debate.
You also want him out.
We would like.
You want him out.
No, we would like.
What is the purpose of our wanting him out?
We and would
do,
like
do
the
you know
objections
that I
against
was
him to be debated and considered. And one way.
Well, that's not
sure.
What the petition
go ahead
says.
And debate
the petition
then.
Says that you want him out, essentially. That's what, it,
he has
what
to be
it's
out.
All about. Look,
of course,
gentlemen, I need to wrap this up. And I think this we really need to debate this issue much, much more closely. I'd like to thank all of you very much. We're going to come back to this debate on another day. This debate is not going away anywhere. I'd like to thank both of you for joining us. We need to take a short break. There are developments at Jawaharlal Nehru University. We expect in a little while from now, will Kanhaiya Kumar, who's been released on bail, speak to students over there. He spoke to NDTV a little while earlier on and has spoken a little bit about what he intends to do in the days ahead. We leave you with these images of Kanhaiya back at JNU.